4, please. John chapter number 4. I want to say what a privilege it is to be here. Thank you for all that you've done for us. While you're turning there, I'm thinking of a woman that I know, Native American lady, mostly. Thank you, sir. She used to live just a couple of blocks from us out there in South Dakota. She was living there, living with a feller, and they were working on a house, trying to get things going, and we're going to move into that. They didn't have running water in the house yet, and we just had barely met them. She come over to the house one day and asked for some water. They didn't have water in the house, and my wife gave her some water, and she had on a pair of cut-off blue jeans and a shirt that said Miller High Life on it. And when she walked away, preacher, I looked at my wife. I said, "That would be a hard woman to win." That was my words. The guy she was living with, his granddaddy was one of the charter members of the church that I was trying to start there in my garage. His granddaddy passed away. And his wife came to me and she said, "I want you to preach the funeral." I said, "Well, I want you to understand, I preach at a funeral just like I preach in church." And she said, "I know it. That's why I want you to preach the funeral." And I guess everybody in Chamberlain, South Dakota, must have known this guy. They had to have his funeral in a gymnasium. There's probably 350, 400 folks out there, and they brought in the Catholic school that was local there to help set out all the chairs. The Catholic priest was over here, and the place was packed out. And I was scared to death, because I knew a lot of those folks were not used to just Bible preaching. And I tell you, though, after getting up there just for a little bit, God helped this preacher. Yes, sir. And I got up and got to preaching, and God got to stirring my heart, and I got to, you know, those folks, a lot of them were Lutherans, just like at that Lutheran church, but they were looking at me like I was crazy. And I made the comment, I said, "The Bible says," and was preaching about heaven or hell, and you're either going to heaven or hell. And I said, "As a matter of fact, this Bible don't know anything about purgatory." Boy, when I said that, boy, that Catholic priest, his eyes lit up, and everybody else's did too, and even people in the church that was coming to my church said, "Man, you probably going to be in trouble with that statement." Well, that lady that I told you would be hard to win, when she was growing up in elementary school, she grew up in a Catholic school. And so she only lived like this. Boy, she got mad. This is her testimony, as she told us later. She got mad. And she was going to come over to my house, and she was going to take the Bible and show me purgatory and prove me wrong. But she had a real big problem when she started trying to find it in the Bible. It wasn't in there. Amen. And listen, you know what she told my wife later on? She said, I wanted to find out that if he was right about that, he might be right about something else. And you know what they started doing? They started coming that little garage over where we was at. And she didn't like coming. She told my wife, she said, "I would forget," because they'd show up just sporadically. She said, "I would forget that he would give those altar calls." She said, "I'd forget about it." She said, "Then we'd show up," and she would think, "Oh no, he's going to give one of those altar calls again." I'm telling you, they showed up. Amen. They're just living two blocks from me. She's got a couple of kids, and from a prior marriage, she's living with that guy. He don't have driver's license from a DUI. Their life was a wreck, but God specializes in wrecks. Amen. I'm telling you, one Sunday morning, they showed up, sat right there, and God got a hold of this preacher. I got to preaching. I got to giving that altar call, and her little 10-year-old boy got under Holy Ghost conviction. Man, he got in the altar. Hey, he got up and said he got saved by the grace of God. Oh, can I just say this right here? Listen, I got down there and prayed with him, but when he got up, I didn't have to tell him he was saved. Hey, I like it that way, by the way. Amen. I'm not just going to try to get notches to put in my Bible. I want to see folks genuinely converted by the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? That boy got saved. He went back to his seat. And man, she was standing there. She was gripping that pew, Brother Blue. She was gripping that thing so tight. I said, just keep on playing just as I am. And just a little bit, boy, here she come. Man, she got in the altar, got saved by the grace of God. Hey, the next week, he got saved there at his house. Hey, and they both, listen, they both ended up, got baptized. Now their other boy got saved. They got a couple little girls now. Hey, got married. I'm telling you, you won't find anybody more faithful serving the Lord. Amen. How God can take a family and turn it all around. Amen. Yes. I guess what made me think about that was this woman here. Now I want to read some verses here in John chapter number 4. In John chapter number 4, verse number 35. Hey, of course, very familiar verse. Say not ye, the Lord's asking a question. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, the fields are white. Lift up your eyes. Hey, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white. They're all ready. Amen. They're all prepared. They're all ready for harvest, for the picking. Amen. And I thought about that because the Lord, in this chapter, he must needs go through. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. That he had to show up there in Samaria to meet one woman there at the well. Hey, praise God that my Savior was a missionary. Hey, and by the way, he was a great soul winner, wasn't he? Because in John chapter number 3, I believe he won Nicodemus to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Here, this woman comes out. I'm telling you, her life's a wreck. Hey, man, she's had a few husbands. Is that right? And the Lord's sitting there, and oh boy, here she comes right on the noondays. How opposite, by the way, she is of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was very religious. She was just a sinner woman. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And she debated with the Lord and started asking some questions. Hey, when you think, amen, about this woman, when she comes out, her life is a wreck. And the Lord said, give me a drink of water. She said, how is it, amen, that you being a Jew could ask me for water? She wasn't expecting somebody like him, amen, to take the time to talk to somebody like her. And it's already been mentioned, amen, but the ones that look like they fell face first into a tackle box, they are the ones that need the Lord, amen. They are the ones, they are the very ones that are perhaps what we'd say hard to win. Can I tell you, here I was, missionary now, done got out to South Dakota. I'm in the place where God wants me. And I mean, I'd met that woman, and that was my first thought. I'm telling you, maybe subconsciously, amen. Now listen, God, amen, I'm glad God got a hold of that lady's heart. Amen. But many times, if it's just left up to our old rotten flesh, we'll give up on folks, amen. Or am I the only one that'll do that? Anybody else? We will. We have a tendency. I said, man, that woman would be hard to win. And now, if you want to see that lady in church, she's standing there with her boys and those little girls, and they're singing Victory in Jesus. Her husband is right beside her, and they're praising the Lord. They're serving God. This woman, when she said, how is it that you're going to talk to me? He said, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink of water, you would ask me for a drink of water. And he began to talk to her. He said, you'll drink of this water, and you'll be thirsty again by tomorrow. Amen. But if you'll drink of the water that I will give unto you, you'll never thirst again. She said, sir, give me this water. Well, she found out real quick. Hey, you know what? Jesus made her thirsty. Amen. Amen. You know what we are to do? Whether we're going or whether we're staying, amen, as a Christian, we are to make other people thirsty. Amen. And create a thirst. Salt. We are salt of the earth. Amen. Salt creates thirst. Make them thirsty. They ought to see something different that we have that they don't. Amen. And I just say something right there. We go into a lot of churches. We travel a lot. And I tell you, if we're not careful, man, we are so scared to death to worship God anymore. Hey, I got a real problem with that lady shouting it out the other day, yesterday. Got a real problem with that. Why? just made me homesick. Amen. Amen. Just made me, hey, didn't scare me a bit. Now listen, sometimes that happens, man. Even the mission, sometimes missionaries are going, what in the world is it? And you know what? Because, listen, we have taken a, can I just, we have taken a business mentality. We'll bend over backwards. We'll do anything in the world just as long as we can get people to coming back. And then if somebody gets up and has the audacity to worship, we are scared to death that it's going to scare somebody and they'll leave the church. Somebody get up and shout it out and people are sitting there scared thinking, oh Lord, they're going to think we're a bunch of nuts. They're going to go somewhere else. Our church is going to dwindle up. And it's, listen, can I tell you that there ought to be a place where sinners come in and figure out on their own that there is a power of God that gets beyond our flesh and God takes over. Is that all right? I mean, man, the flesh can go through the routines. The flesh can take up offerings. The flesh knows what to say when everybody else is listening to us pray. Boy, I like it when God takes over. So he said, if you'll just drink. I'm trying to get these verses I read. Is that all right? I'm trying to preach fast. Can you tell? She said, sir, give me this water. I'd like to have a drink of that. You know what? There's a lot of folks. Oh, they may not just come right out and tell you that. Oh, but they want a drink. They want a drink. There's a lot of people just fed up with religion. Hello. Hey, man. A lot of folks just fed up with religion. You can talk to a lot of folks, and they're bitter at church. They're mad. You know why? Because if we take the business approach of church, and if we can do everything to suit everybody, amen, listen, and just close out the supernatural and the working of the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's just business as usual. You know what? I got a real problem, Pastor. I got a real problem if sinners come in our church, amen, and when they leave, if they shake hands with the preacher and say, boy, I really enjoyed being here today. How in the world does that happen? I'm telling you, sinners can sit in the congregation. And I'm, amen, listen. And the churches we go into are Baptist churches, amen. But listen to you, there's a lot of them come in and they can feel comfortable. This woman just in a few minutes got around Jesus and she's figured out and she needs a drink of water. Living water. So he wins her to the Lord. She goes back into the town, didn't she? Y'all come see a man. Hey, man, that told me everything. Is not this the Christ? It was real. Hey, this is real to me, by the way. I told y'all, no, I didn't get in the ministry for a paycheck. If I had, I might have been one of them Lutherans. Hey, man, I figured out they pay pretty good out there. It's a calling. It's real. It's real to me. Can I share what we talk? Man, this guy, me and this guy, I like this guy. I just hadn't met him. I seen him out in the hallway last night before I got to my room. And boy, he's still just bragging on God. Amen. He said, man, he said, I've only been on deputation for so long. He said, I just don't understand it. I'm already a certain amount of precise. I said, can I explain to you why? He said, yeah. I said, because it's real and folks can see it in you. Amen. Amen. I mean, can't you tell a difference? I know I can. Amen. I like it. Well, when the Spirit of God gets, hey, I said, man, when you got up there, I said, you keep shedding those tears and you keep preaching and you preach anything God gives you and don't fear man and people will know it's real and God will get you to the field. I know that from experience. Well, the verse I read to you, the Lord's talking to his disciples, so I'm getting there. She said, come see a man. She told me everything I did. So the Lord is there. His disciples show up. They got to be Baptists because they've been getting something to eat. That's what the Bible says. It was time for fellowship. Amen. And they show up and they said, Lord, ain't you going to eat? You know they're Baptist, man. Lord, ain't you going to eat? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He's trying to teach them spiritual things. And all they're seeing is that. They're seeing the flesh. Boy, they're just thinking so carnal right now. And before we give them a hard time, we do too, don't we? But here's what the Lord says. I'm trying to hurry. I don't want to make anybody miss their lunchtime. Amen. Since we're talking about food. Hello. I mean, how ironic, right? That Brother Earhart. Amen. I'm Brother Earhart going to the state of science. That Brother Earhart is preaching right before lunchtime, preaching about food a little bit. He said, say not ye. I wonder, Pastor, it don't say this specifically here in the scripture, but I wonder if she's had time to go get some of those folks to tell them, boy, I've found. And she, by the way, she's a Samaritan. Off limits to Jews. People would go around that place, but he had needs to go through it. Amen. And so, I wonder when she's coming back, they're walking out there to the Lord and they're trying to get the Lord to eat something. And he said, say not ye, there are ye yet 4 months and then come with harvest. I wonder if he just kind of points when they're walking out there to him. He said, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white. And he's talking about souls is what he's talking about. Can I tell you the heartbeat of God is souls. Whether you're going or whether you're staying. Amen. Whether you're helping sending a missionary and giving money, or you're the one putting shoe leather on it and you're the one actually going, it's still the heartbeat of God is the souls of man. And he was the greatest soul winner. Ain't he the greatest soul winner? He won you, didn't he? Y'all remember that? How he spoke to your heart through a preacher, and the Holy Ghost of God put you under conviction and he drawed you to his son. Ain't he, glory to God, ain't he just wonderful? I mean, ain't he just the greatest? I mean, there's nobody like him. Amen. Nobody like him. The way he drawed. My goodness. And he said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white. Lift up your eyes. I'll just give you a couple of quick points about that. Lift up your eyes. Well, the indication is, if you've got to lift up your eyes, they must be down. Lift them up. Vision. But what happens if my eyes are down? Well, I can see my shoes. A lot of y'all can't say that. Say amen, right there. Y'all get that later after we eat, okay? Here's what I mean by that. I can see my shoes. I can see this pretty tie. You know what I can see, preacher? I can see how good I'm blessed, buddy. These shoes are fairly new. I got them on clearance at the Burlington Coat Factory, by the way. They're nice. They're comfortable. Boy, I like my comfort. My eyes are down. I can see me. I got a pretty good view of me. Y'all got a pretty good view of me, but I've got a good view of me. Here's what the Lord said. Get your eyes off of yourself. Missions is about getting your eyes off of yourself and getting God's vision. Here's what I can do. I can lift up my eyes. Guess what? I cannot see my shoes right now. I can't see my tie right now. I got a good view, though, of y'all. My eyes are up. I can see y'all very good. I can tell you, you're looking at me, so I could tell you what you're wearing better than what you could right now. Because I'm looking at you. I'm not looking at me. The missionary that goes to Kansas, that goes to Ireland, that wherever it is, has got to look up and not look at himself. The ones who are paying the missionaries. And I say by faith, sometimes it seems like more, but if you ask the missionary, it may seem like more faith on his part. But to give by faith
to a man because you got your eyes off of yourself and you are trusting that that man has his eyes off of himself. And by faith, we all, because ain't that what he says in the next verse? Can I read the next verse? It says in verse number 36, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, or life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Is that not true the way it should work today? We come in as missionaries. Hopefully we've got our eyes off of ourselves. And boy, I tell you, we got that. We got a distant look in our eyes. A missionary will have a distant, man, because we're looking at the field. We're looking at those folks that are there. I'm looking at the Lord. I'm lifting up my eyes. I see His vision. I see what He's seeing. Man, that guy just sung about it. It is different when you're up from the shepherd's point, from up high. And you lift up your eyes, well, you get a whole lot better view of the world. Get a whole lot better view of what God is seeing. Is that what now He's called us to do? We're here to ask you to sow by faith. And if I've got my eyes on myself, I'm thinking, man, I can't give that much because these shoes are going to wear out. I mean, look at them. I mean, they're, you know, getting old. My suit, boy, I need a new suit. And what I'll begin to do is reason away by my carnality. I'll excuse faith away. But if I lift up my eyes and look on those fields and look at Ireland and by faith see the vision that these men have seen, I'll say, you know what? I don't see myself. Boy, I can sure see that. And I can sure see the need there. You know what Jesus is teaching His men? That right there. He says, look, whether you're sowing, did Paul not explain that in 1 Corinthians? He said, I planted or Apollos planted, I watered. He said, we're all workers together. We're all on the same team. And you know what, by the way? And I'm almost done. I tried to preach quick. You see a person with their head down. Of course, they got their eyes on themselves. But you know what? You ever seen anybody with their head down? You know what? Usually they're discouraged. I mean, you don't see people that's quit anything going around with their head up saying, man, I'm a quitter. Woo! I just quit, man. No. What happens when their head goes down? Discouragement. I tell you, lift up your eyes. Keep seeing the field. It'll keep you from getting discouraged. You look at other people's problems. When you got some, you know what you'll do? You'll realize, boy, you really ain't got a whole lot of problems. You'll realize that yours is very minute compared to somebody else. If I lift up my eyes, I can't see myself, but I can see their problems. I can see their need. I can see the need for the missionary to go. I can see the need to give to that missionary. And me have a part in that fruitful ministry that He'll bring. I get to have part in that if I'm the one giving. Or if I'm the one going. Get your eyes off of yourself. Let's pray. Lord, I love You. Lord, and I thank You for the privilege of being here at this church. Thank You for Pastor Sexton and the folks here, Lord, that have just loved on our family. Lord, they have just taken care of us and just made us feel so welcome. Lord, I'm so grateful to You. And God, I pray now that You would take, Lord, and bless, Lord, the remainder of the meeting tonight, tomorrow. Lord, have Your way. Move in people's hearts, I do pray. God, we lift up our eyes, see what You see, Lord, and respond to the Spirit working in our lives as I know and believe and trust that You're doing. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.